In my case, for example, I was sold as Al-Qaeda commander. By 2015, they said, uncle, if he actually joined Al-Qaeda. So basically, there is no basis whatsoever. It's just, you know, they try to market their narrative about Guantanamo.
Mansour, we have to leave it there, but I want to encourage people to watch The Hour with Mansour Adaifi, who was imprisoned without charge for 14 years. And thank you so much to James Yee. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Wear a mask. Stay safe.
Yes, indeed. Do that. You are listening to WUSB in Stony Brook, broadcasting at 90.1 megahertz, as well as 107.3 megahertz on the FM dial here on Long Island. It's January the 11th, 2021. I'm sorry, Democracy Now! Ended a minute early, so we're trying to kill time here. Colin, you know, it's a poem or something to read, or just have a few seconds?
Oh, the bitter cold, the bitter, bitter cold.
It's cold. Yes, stay warm, people. Don't get cold. Don't go outside without being fully prepared. Is it 6 o'clock yet? No. And what that means is that temperatures have plummeted to very freezing conditions. Drive carefully. Drive carefully. Ice is slippery. And you could find yourself in trouble if you're not careful. Again, this is WUSB Stony Brook, and it's 6 o'clock now, which means it's time for another edition of Off the Wall. I don't know why the theme's not... Oh, but the theme's not playing because I didn't have the volume up, so I'm going to pause that, bring it back, turn the volume up, and say once again, this is WUSB Stony Brook, time for Off the Wall. Oh, perfect. And here we are for another edition of Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you, joined tonight by Kyle.
Yes.
Good evening.
Hey, how's it going?
It's cold, as we mentioned. It's
frigid.
It's very good. I like it this way. This is what winter should be. I could use a little more snow. We got snow, all right. Credit where credit is due. We had, I think, around 9 inches here in the Setauket area, so that's great. But it melted. It got warm again and it all went away. Next time, let's have snow and keep it cold for a while so the snow will stick around. That's sort of the point. And hopefully that will happen soon because temperatures are really down there in the Fahrenheit scale in the 20s, minus 10 or so and on the Celsius scale. And it's going to get cold on Friday as well.
Yeah, not to at all diminish that there is still some frozen stuff, like piles of snow, mm-hmm. things you can't really see around in the normal places, and snow banks, I guess is what you call them.
And don't have to have snow to have ice.
Well, and that's the other thing, because it melts, I guess, the solar effects and other factors of the temperature going up, then it kind of glazes over in spots, so you have to, like, really be extra cautious. If you are operating a vehicle, maybe there's people you can't see who are trying to cross a street, or they're riding a bicycle or something with no lights or something because mm-hmm. they're commuting. Just be really mindful because everybody's braving it.
Yeah, I got you make me think of something here. That is the high number, and I mean a really high number of pedestrian deaths on our roads locally. I mean, I'm reading about this almost every couple of days, that there was a horrible accident, and of course the pedestrian is the one who succumbs to injuries, or cyclists, and it's something that here on Long Island, it's a huge problem. It is a huge problem. We lost one of our own esteemed hosts in recent weeks due to something like that, and it's we need better lighting, we need better crossing opportunities, we need cars to not be driving as recklessly or as fast.
That's a huge factor.
It's awful. It really is awful.
The behaviors behind the wheel are just egregious. Just attitudes in general, there are so much projecting going on
mm-hmm.
With heavy equipment, machinery, and so forth. It's not just getting somewhere, it's getting somewhere and making a statement or something. I don't know what it is, or just being totally irreverent to anybody else's life.
Right.
Like, that they exist in any way spatially. And that's how you get these physical calamities.
Well, I mean, there are a couple of factors. Yeah, you have aggressive drivers, you have people who don't obey the rules of the road, but you also have dangerous conditions, and sometimes what happens if someone's crossing in the middle of a highway, you legitimately don't see them, and then your life is forever changed in a very negative way, having gotten involved in something like that. So it's awful for everybody, and we need to work hard to make things safer, and I think we're not doing a good job here.
The other thing is there's a changeover in street lamps, so you have different light spectrums with the new LED overhead lighting where there is, if there is it near a road. Also, vehicle headlights. There are so many different types.
Oh, boy.
We should just print out a list and go through all the types of headlight technology.
It's an arms race where you have to be brighter than the next guy, and it you can't see anything anymore.
In some cases, it's nice to have a dim driving light that just basically allows you to see as far as you need to going at relatively slow speeds. But people drive incredibly fast with very, very bright lights and all kinds of accessories and things that can be incredibly hazardous and different colors, you know. Some of it is blinding. There are headlights now that employ laser beams, and all kinds of projection technologies, and of course all different bulbs people use. There's like violet colors and super white bright. It's incredible the diversity out there. Not saying I have a problem with it, but it is a hazard among the many other things we've been talking about. And civil engineering, you know, it's nice to have bike paths, but practically speaking, people need to have safe protected areas for commuting, too. A lot of people commute. They rely on... They don't want to be behind the wheel. They rely on human-powered transportation. And I hate to see in the bitter cold like this any more darkness and suffering.
Yeah. Well, on that happy note, it's January the 11th, as we mentioned, which I guess is kind of a special day if you like numbers. But we have a lot of things that are happening around us. Do you know there is a, or there is, in the neighboring village of Port Jefferson, there's a trial today.
Is there?
I didn't know they had trials in Port Jefferson, but yeah. It seems the headline in today's Newsday reads, "Special Prosecutor Appointed in Trial of Setauket Patriots Leader Charged with Holding Parade Without Permit." Wow, I didn't know you got to go on trial for something like that, but it should be interesting. I don't know, where does the trial take place? I mean, is there Village Hall, I guess? Is there a jury? Is there a jail? I'd like to know. Port Jefferson Village officials have appointed a special prosecutor for the trial of a political activist charged with holding a 2020 parade without a permit. You know, when I see a sentence like that right away, I'm like, this doesn't sound right. You know, jailing somebody for holding a political event without permission, it kind of seems like, you know, maybe overreach, but let's read on. John M. Shields, a lawyer with Smithtown law firm Devitt Spellman Barrett and a former state prosecutor, was hired after the attorney for defendant James Rubitsek said the village prosecutor originally assigned to the case may be called as a witness. So you can't be a prosecutor and a witness at the same time, apparently. Rubitsek, founder of the pro-Trump group, the Setauket Patriots, is charged with holding an event honoring September 11th terror attack victims on September 12th, 2020, after the Port Jefferson Village Board rejected his application for a permit. Village officials said parade participants marching on sidewalks along Route 112 had obstructed traffic and caused road closures. Rubitsek was due to appear today before Village Justice John F. Riley in Port Jefferson Village Court. Man, to be a fly on the wall there. The village board on December 13th voted 4-0 to hire Shields, a former assistant Southampton town attorney and former legal aid lawyer. Shields will be paid $225 per hour, up to a maximum of $15,000. I'm getting a lot of particulars in this story that I don't usually get. The salary of the people involved, the law firms where they work.
It's a little old school, right?
It's good to have information, I guess, but... Do we need this much information? I don't know. Shields did not return a call seeking comment. Probably because no one ever called asking for a comment before. This is all of a sudden big headlines. Shields replaces deputy. I think we already went over this. Shields replaces deputy village attorney Richard Harris, who had been slated to prosecute Rubitsek. Rubitsek's attorney Vincent Grand III of Copeg told Newsday he planned to call Harris as a witness because Harris had been involved in reviewing Rubitsek's permit application. It's not so much that it's a conflict of interest, it's a lack of a separation of duties, Grand said Wednesday in an interview. He's putting himself into the position of being and should be called as a witness. That kind of is a conflict of interest, though, isn't it? I mean, if you're a witness and a prosecutor, it's a conflict. That's why... They're replacing him. Village attorney Brian Egan confirmed Harris was one of several people who had reviewed Rubitsek's application, adding the arrangement was not unusual for a small village with limited staff. And I'm blown away that the small village is having a trial about this. The strategy was just to resolve it by appointing a special prosecutor. Now, Rubitsek's parade permit application was denied in 2020 because state guidance at the time discouraged large public gatherings due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Remember, this was 2020. Grand said Rubitsek would be cleared of the charge, as his lawyer saying that, adding He believed the village ordinance requiring the permit was narrowly tailored to deny my client his right to free speech. Yeah, if you look at the ordinance, it actually mentions him by name. It says everybody else will have freedom of speech except for this guy Robitsek, who we don't like, and we're not going to grant him anything. So yeah, his lawyer is right. It was narrowly tailored to deny his client the right to free speech. Okay, we're exiting fantasy land now and coming back to reality. His lawyer said police told Robitsek a permit was not necessary if participants marched on sidewalks. And he said the village had held a 9/11 ceremony the day before. So apparently the thinking is, well, they could do it. The 9/11 people were able to do it. Why can't the 9/12 people do it? And police told him he could do it. Yeah, because police are the ones who write the laws. it sounds shaky. This logic. It's our position that no permit was needed. We believe the ordinance gives too much authority to the mayor and the board of trustees. But it's kind of like what they're supposed to do, right? I mean, isn't granting a permit something that you expect a mayor or a board of trustees to do? To say that, yeah, but we don't believe that there should be a permit. Therefore, there shouldn't be any charges. In fact, there shouldn't be a trial. You shouldn't show up for the trial then, because that's the way that Republicans do things now. If you don't agree with something, you just don't participate. You get a subpoena, you just don't answer it. You know, you're told to testify. No, not going to do it. Turn something over. Uh-uh. The law is totally subjective.
Must be facetious. This is a joke, right? You can't have that in 2022.
2023? 2024 max, we're going to have it. I mean, just the way things are going now, you know, the whole legal system is falling apart. So just because you say somebody is a criminal, if you're of a different political party, well, that's invalid. That's null and void. So it doesn't count. It doesn't count. They say Robitsek's and the Setauket Patriots' political views were not a factor in the decision to deny the permit or to charge Robitsek. The bottom line is the village has to be prepared to enforce the law. It has to be applied to everyone. Yeah, but you see, that's not fair. It's not fair to treat everyone the same. I mean, you know, when Black Lives Matter marched in Port Jefferson, they got a permit. They had to pay for the extra police that were needed to keep the streets safe. And they did, willingly. And it was a very peaceful and positive event, except for the people who were screaming all kinds of hateful things at them on the sidewalks, some of whom I think are affiliated with this very same Setauket Patriots group. So that is the situation. This guy is being charged with holding an event without a permit when you need a permit to have an event. I don't know. To me, that seems kind of open and closed. If you need a permit to have this kind of an event, and you do it anyway when your permit is denied, kind of means that you're violating something. I don't even know how you argue otherwise. And, you know, I remember these events when they took place. They were not peaceful like the Black Lives Matter protest was. And I remember I was in that particular march. People marched down the street. They were advised quite strongly by the organizers, do not engage people who are trying to yell hateful things at you. Just, you know, stay peaceful, stay away from the hateful people. And it was an incredibly beautiful, positive event, you know, in the wake of George Floyd's death, as much as something could be beautiful and positive.
Unifying.
It was very unifying. And, you know, if you were not a part of that movement before that, witnessing it, I think, would move you if you have any ounce of humanity. Now, the pro-Trump thing, on the other hand, was full of loudness, shouting, hatred, intimidation. And it's not the only one. You know, we've had all kinds of motorcades going through town. We've had all sorts of just very negative types of events happening. Now, you know, if you read a story like in the in this publication called The Patch that allows comments. Now, Newsday no longer allows comments because it just turned into such incredible hatred and idiocy. But the patch does, and you'll see those very same people saying the very same hateful things and lies about Black Lives Matter, saying that, oh, all these thugs came to town, were looting and raping people. It's just insane. And the more they say it, the more they believe it. But the facts, no, facts are enemies now, but the facts, for those of us who still believe in facts, bear this out.
Also, a lot of those Black Lives Matter protests had permits and were heavily policed.
Mm-hmm.
I know the one in Smithtown, remember? They had, like...
Oh, yeah.
They had the bus, the, like, municipal bus that was, like, converted to haul people off,
they
I guess.
They had a Suffolk County bus driven by a cop, all ready to go to haul people off. And there was no indication that there was going to be anything, any kind of trouble whatsoever, and there wasn't.
There were, like... basically, businesses waving and welcoming the action in their neighborhood because
yeah.
they were aligned with the attitude, and they're like, "Yeah, we want to support this spirit of you know, standing up for people who are not being treated equally."
But this false narrative, when Republicans put out a false narrative, many times it sticks because. Well, their own people will simply lap it up and repeat it word for word. But the other side, the people who are not of this belief, they don't protest it enough. They just simply say, oh, yeah, they're at it again. But then it sticks. And then the mainstream, the people who aren't really aligned one way or another, they hear what's being said over and over again, and they start to believe it. And that's how you get the critical race theory nonsense that winds up turning elections and winds up turning... local school boards into basically white supremacy rally points. It's awful. It's awful what happens. And it's because there isn't enough fighting back when lies are being spread.
And in the case of, like, having something where, you know, well, you know, it's 50-50, well, we'll just show up, and there's these actions where there isn't a permit, so people don't know about it, so there isn't a counter-protest, there isn't people as aware. And the people that are bystanders, that are witnesses, end up just sort of being a bit terrified and not engaging and having some kind of response.
Well, this whole thing in Fort Jefferson is interesting because it kind of lays it all out. Does a local municipality have the right to basically enforce its own rules? Or can Trump people come along and say, no, those rules don't apply to us. We're going to do it anyway. What are you going to do about it? And today, I guess, was the first day of what they're going to do about it. But if I may, I'd like to sort of take a trip back into memory lane, if you'll indulge me. I'd like to go back to this story I found randomly in the Daily News in 1999. Three police officers were indicted yesterday in a sex scandal involving a 17-year-old girl jailed at Brooklyn Criminal Court. Two officers were charged with sodomy for allegedly having oral sex with the teen in an office and holding pen at Brooklyn Central Booking, where she was being held as a person in need of supervision. A third officer was accused of promising to process the girl's prostitution arrest quickly in exchange for a later date. All three officers pleaded not guilty at their arraignment. All had worked at the Brooklyn courthouse processing prisoners during the period of their alleged crimes. These defendants are accused of betraying their oath to protect and serve by the abuse of their authority and their unlawful conduct, according to District Attorney Charles Hines. Officers Thomas Eppolito of Staten Island and Plutarco Jimenez of Brooklyn were charged with sodomy and official misconduct. Prosecutors believe the girl agreed to have sex with Epito and Jimenez. However, under a new rape statute inspired by the Amy Fisher case, prisoners legally can't give consent to their captors. The third officer, James Robitsek of Setauket, was charged with official misconduct for the alleged August promise to the girl. This guy has the same name. As the guy
who leads a Setauket Patriot.
He was a cop. He was a cop in New York City who is no longer a cop in New York City because for some reason, shortly after this, he stopped being a cop.
Oh, he didn't get promoted?
He was part of this sex scandal involving this underage girl. I mean, you know, are these two things related? No, not really, but it speaks to character. It speaks to what type of people this whole Trump movement is drawing in. And, wow, I expected to find something, political in nature, some kind of background, because I like to know something about the people that we feature here on the radio show. But this, whoa. But then again, you know, if you look at some of their leaders, you know, in the House of Representatives, in the Senate, you find all kinds of horrible scandals involving helpless victims that they have dominance over. You know, whether it's Matt Gaetz or Jim Jordan or Donald Trump himself, the list just goes on and on. This is par for the course, and it's pretty gross, pretty disgusting, pretty typical. All right. Well, Lee Zeldin is at it again. He wants to overturn another election. He tried to overturn the presidential election. Tried to do it on January 6th. Yeah, it really doesn't get much sleazier than that. But now, when we're talking about narratives, false narratives being pressed by particular political sides, the latest one, you've probably heard about this, is that non-citizens are being given the right to vote. Oh, my God. How is this possible?
Isn't that an old one?
It's
recycled or something?
It's a little bit old. I mean, this isn't something that just happened. This is something that's been talked about for a while. And it's already happened in a number of other places throughout the country. But basically, this involves a black district attorney. Manhattan has elected its first ever black district attorney. And Lee Zeldin couldn't even give it 10 days before he's calling for the guy to be fired. You can't fire him if he got elected. It doesn't work that way. But he was down there in Manhattan. First of all, you represent Suffolk County. What are you doing in Manhattan? Why are you injecting yourself? Some of the quotes that I've seen from him are saying things like, these are our elections, not their elections. Us versus them. You know, us meaning we're U.S. citizens and they're not. Okay, but you know what, Lee? You're in Suffolk County. They're in Manhattan. That ain't your election. It's their election. So why don't you butt out and do your job? Which he hasn't been doing in a long, long time, because he's got this crazy idea of running for governor, which, you know, is hilarious, but apparently he thinks that the right thing to do when somebody does something you don't agree with is to just remove them, even if they were elected. And this guy was elected by a sizable majority. Anyway, here are some facts. Because it sounds, you know, like potentially something bad, I guess, if you listen to their narrative. It's like, oh, so illegal immigrants are going to be voting and voting Republicans out of power. Well, that's their fear. That's their fear, but that's not at all what's going on here. We're talking about 800,000 non-citizens and dreamers in New York City that will have access to the ballot box. Now, again, let me just stress, these are legal residents. These are people who have been here years, decades even. They are in this country completely legally. It's their permanent residence. They're not citizens, but they have green cards, or they were born in this country, it's something that it makes sense, and it's only on a local basis. These elections are not for president. These elections are not for Senate, for House of Representatives, for governor. It's for local community issues. They live in the community. They pay taxes in the community. They work in the community. They make the community better. And yet people like Lee Zeldin are saying they should have no say in their community. Now think of how hateful that is. These are people who have committed no crime. They're in this country completely legally. Why shouldn't they have some sort of a say? Now, Lee Zeldin and his friends have vowed to challenge the new law, which the city council approved a month ago. They approved it a month ago. Hey, guess what? The black district attorney wasn't even in charge then. yet for some reason you're calling for his head on a platter. You know, you were silent last month, didn't say much about it, but now, yeah, you see a potential issue that you can get people riled up about, and the thing is, it works. This is how this Republican wave last November happened, because all this fear was brought up. Fear of Antifa and Black Lives Matter basically taking over everything and being violent. All this fiction, stuff that didn't even happen. But it's easy to get people to believe it. It's easy to make people afraid. And that is exactly what Lee Zeldin and so many others are doing. Now, New York City is the first major U.S. city to grant widespread municipal voting rights to non-citizens. There's more than a dozen communities across the U.S. that already allow non-citizens to cast ballots in local elections, including 11 towns in Maryland, 2 in Vermont. As I said, non-citizens still wouldn't be able to vote for president or members of Congress in federal races or in the state elections that pick the governors, judges, and legislators. You know, I wonder what's left after all that. Well, mayor, okay. The Board of Elections must now begin drawing an implementation plan by July, including voter registration rules and provisions that would create separate ballots for municipal races to prevent non-citizens from casting ballots in federal and state contests. What is the big deal here? What is the problem? Why are people like Lee Zeldin so intent on alienating this particular class of people? Well, I mean, it doesn't take much to realize that they might not... Actually, you know, his seat is not even in danger because they would be ineligible to vote for his particular race. I guess he just wants them not to have any voice in anything whatsoever. You know, think about it. If somebody is a non-citizen that is here legally, do they get to not make any decisions whatsoever about anything? You know, walk into an ice cream shop, vanilla or chocolate. No, we decide for you. You don't get to make that decision. You don't get to do that because you're not a citizen, and only citizens can vote on these issues.
Or even spend the money in the first place.
Well, they're doing that. They're spending lots of money. They're paying lots of taxes.
No questions asked about that, right?
No. So, you know, anytime, and we've said this before, anytime something... is basically about allowing more people to vote or making it easier for people to vote. Republicans are against that because when more people vote, Republicans lose. When more people vote, Republicans lose. We all know this, and they know it more than anybody, which is why they try to make it as hard as possible. That's why they try to redistrict in ways so that Democratic votes won't count. They embrace the Electoral College because that's one way to give less populated states a major advantage. They make it as hard as possible for minority communities to even make it to the polls at all. And they will use intimidation tactics and have people in positions of power who will have the ability to overturn the elections if they don't like the results. That's why all of this is happening.
Including having large... bellicose, loud, populist movements, mm-hmm. Some might even say at times violent movements, to make them appear bigger and have more support than they probably do, than the vast majority of Americans are comfortable with. But that, along with those other tactics, is spun into this grip, mm-hmm. as you've alluded to.
Well, there's a new mayor in New York City, and basically Mayor Adams said that I believe New Yorkers should have a say in their government, which is why I have and will continue to support this important legislation. He could have vetoed it. He did not. He added that his earlier concerns were put at ease after what he called productive dialogue with colleagues. Yeah, he was concerned about it, as many of you probably are. But you enter in a productive dialogue, you learn something about it. And he was satisfied with that dialogue, so that's something. Former Mayor Bill de Blasio, remember him, had similar concerns but did not move to veto the measure. before vacating City Hall at the end of the year. So, yeah, it's weird. I'm reading here some states, not surprising, Alabama, Arizona, Colorado, Florida have adopted rules that would preempt any attempts to pass laws like the one in New York City. So they took the step of just making it impossible to even have a law like this in any community. And that supposedly is freedom. That's your government at work preventing you from doing something different.
Yeah, that seems like a trend we've been seeing all the rage, really quite common everywhere you turn, it seems. When looking at some of this stuff and evaluating what's going on.
Well, okay. Have you heard the name Bruce Blakeman?
No.
Oh, we are so lucky. I wish I could say that. But Bruce Blakeman is the newly elected Nassau County executive. Yeah. And this guy has no knowledge of what he's doing. Except that he's doing stupid things. And basically, he is telling, there's backlash. The Nassau-Suffolk School Boards Association told Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman in a letter that he has no authority to tell schools not to follow a state mandate requiring masks indoors. So basically, the state is requiring masks indoors. Bruce Blakeman gets elected and says, you don't have to do that. I'm overriding the governor. You can't override the governor, you idiot.
Basically telling him not to do his job. Follow guidelines that are agreed upon.
Blakeman signed an order stating that school boards could decide whether or not their district requires mask wearing. The order is in opposition to New York State's Public Health Law 206, that requires counties to enforce masking regulations in schools and other settings. This is what Governor Hochul said. Those who underestimate me do so at their own peril, including the county executive of Nassau County. I have the law of the state of New York behind me, and I will always exercise my authority and obligation to protect the health of the people of this state. Municipalities, such as counties, are creatures of the state. They have to follow state law. Yeah. So after that slapdown, the Nassau-Suffolk School Boards Association basically doubled down as well. It's crazy. And we're going to see more things like this because of all the idiots who got elected who don't know what they're doing. You know, Marjorie Taylor Greene syndrome. We're going to see that in so many more places. And how did these people get elected in the first place? Again, all the false narrative that is being spread around that is not being fought back nearly enough. It becomes something that people are concerned about. They show up to vote and they put the wrong people in power. And everything falls apart as a result of that. Everything falls apart.
It doesn't even matter if they're incompetent, right? Because their fealty makes it such that they're instruments of the party that is so terrified of what might happen if the majority actually has some of its initiatives and some of its platform realized.
And like I said, this is happening throughout the country. Now, there's this pandemonium going on as far as what kids are being taught in schools. You know, when you went to school, were parents this involved in the specifics of lesson plans and things like that? Because I don't understand the value of that at all.
No, not that I remember. I think it was like parent-teacher organizations had some role, but I don't think they were like designing any of it. That was done by the district, at least in the public school system. And then I guess they have like academic boards and private schools.
Egregious cases, obviously, a parent would be concerned about and say something about. But they're not teachers. They are not teachers, unless they are. But in most cases, they're not. The teachers have knowledge as far as curriculum and what should be taught at what grade. And we need to trust them to do this. And only when they fail should it become an issue. But that's not what we're talking about here. Now, this is happening all throughout the country. In Indiana, they have this Senate Bill 167. You heard about this? This is insane.
No, I haven't.
Oh, my God. Here's some of what's in Senate Bill 167. And again, remember, this is just one of many, many similar bills throughout the country. Teachers must post lesson plans and curricular materials in advance with sufficient time for parental review. Really? I mean, as a student, I don't think I even got the lesson plan in advance. You showed up in school and you learned different things every day. To have that, all the parents review, I mean, think of the average parent and then realize that 50% of them are dumber than that. I'm sorry, George Carlin, I stole that. Okay, point number two. Parents can opt out their child from any part of the curriculum, and the teacher will have to provide a different lesson plan for that child. What? So you don't like a particular topic being discussed, so the teacher now has to double down and have a totally different plan for that kid? And what if you don't like that plan either? And what if 30 kids, all their parents don't like the plans, and they all want different plans? This is insane. Parents, stay out of it. You know, there are schools now where parents come into the school to have lunch with their kids. For God's sake, let them go to school. Stay away from them for a little while. I was driving in one of our local communities right around the time that school let out. Now, you know, I've previously noticed that unlike when I was a kid, when the bus brings your kid back, everyone has a damn SUV at the bus stop waiting for the kid to get off the bus so that the kid can get into the SUV and drive the 50 meters or so to the house or something insane like that. In other words, the kids are never not in the presence of some kind of supervision. They can't be trusted to get off the bus and walk home. I don't know what people think is going to happen. And yes, bad things do happen. Bad things have always happened. But this is a bad thing, too. And it's happening right now. And the amount of hovering and second-guessing is very, very unhealthy. What kind of people are these kids going to grow up to be getting used to that?
Yeah, I didn't ride the bus a lot, but what I remember of it was there were bus stops where kids would gather together in safe groups, and that was where the bus picked a lot of people up. This ends up, you have like individual stops along the way. I think more of a traffic problem, but I guess there aren't good sidewalks anyway, so where would they walk other than like in a ditch or something? It's messed up all the way around, but I agree, like, going from one driveway to the next, and then the kids ridiculously getting into a vehicle to be driven up a driveway is insane.
It's crazy. And that's why you have unhealthy kids that don't know how to exercise. You know, I can't believe I'm saying this, but when I was a kid, I had to walk half a mile to school. And sometimes in the snow, yes. But because that particular year there were no buses because of a budget cut.
That's why the
school wasn't that far away, so I had to walk through the woods to get to the highway, to cross the highway to get to the school.
I did the same thing. It was exactly, I didn't have a bus ride because I lived too close.
Mm-hmm.
So I just walked.
Yeah, we didn't have a car. How about that? Yeah. Anyway, continuing with Senate Bill 167 in Indiana. Hard copies of course materials that are not electronic must be located in the office for parental review. So you got parents like parading down there whenever they feel like to look over your lesson plans. The curriculum of the district will be determined by a committee composed of 60% parents and community members and 40% educators, and all members of the committee must be school board approved, but no requirement that a teacher be on the committee. It's like teachers are the enemy. Yeah, teachers don't get a say.
The other thing is, the reason parents delegate and say, and we agree that there are institutions that can teach a large amount of students, let's call them grades, mm-hmm. at a time, maybe even several at a time, they can handle that, and we do that in an organized way because a lot of adults have to work and have other obligations in society, and they don't want to be involved in the day-to-day planning of their children's education. They're relying on the education system to impart some knowledge and hone their critical thinking and acumen, whatever, and have some confidence. And this is what's missing. We're taking that opportunity and the trust in the educational system. This is what's going to chase teachers away in droves.
Absolutely.
If they're not already burnt out. I mean, this is and then the people that end up taking an interest are the parents that aren't interested will remain not interested. The hazard here is not including teachers and then having only people that want to have their hand in the pot and be one of the chefs, so to speak. And elbow out the people that are actually, you know, educators and dedicated their lives to this stuff and are on top of what teachers and professionals in this field have agreed upon is important
mm-hmm.
to teach across our country as well as in our global society. So that the affront, I think, to the profession, this is very much like what happened with media and distrust in the news. Now we're going to distrust educators.
Exactly, yeah. Distrust science, distrust education. And it's not to say don't get involved. My mother was very involved when I was growing up, basically because, well, she knew a lot about history and various things. So sometimes when I was working on a particular paper or something, she might see something that didn't quite seem right, and she'd call the teacher and have a long conversation on the phone. I remember one conversation was whether or not pilgrims were Puritans. Her contention, I believe, was that they were. This is in junior high school. And Mrs. Rapicki, I can't believe I remember her name, she said that it was not. And there was another case, too, where I didn't get involved in this. It was basically some kind of intellectual back and forth between the teacher and my mother. And one time, the argument was about whether or not Catholics were Christians. And that went back and forth for a while. But, you know, in the end, the teacher had the final say. The parent could be upset about it. The parent could disagree. But we all recognize that the teacher is the one that's going to make the decision. And, okay, fine. You know, let's say you're taught something in school. You always have the ability to believe something else. You know, this is what we learned in my class, but I did my own looking up research. I hate saying that phrase now, but I did my own research or talked to other people, and I believe this is more true than what I was taught. You know, rather than this whole cancel culture thing of don't even say it to me, I refuse to listen. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what this is. Anyway, let me continue with this bill because we're going to run out of time. The bill also bans educators from repeatedly interacting with students on social-emotional issues without prior parental consent. So, for example, an educator would be forbidden from responding to a student who discloses they're having suicidal thoughts if the student has disclosed this before and the teacher doesn't have the parent's permission to respond. Okay, that's just insane. That's just crazy. You can't help a student who's in trouble without first asking his parents or her parents if you're allowed to do that? No. That goes against every element of common sense I'm familiar with.
Well, that's not a part of this at all. I mean, just how crazy is it that these people that are so upset about this are worried and hurt for their progeny more so about the strife and the curriculum that actually points out about how other people throughout history have been actually victimized,
mm-hmm.
and that their children might have to confront that, and just not even to have some kind of system where they're owing something, just to be aware. To be empathetic and not go through your life thinking that this stuff is to be questioned and made up when it has been a part of a curriculum and continues to be a part of a widely understood history. I mean, we're entertaining something that is really, really backwards, that hasn't even, I mean, what students have been damaged? I'd like to see the students these teachers are complaining for and how incredibly...
Oh, it's not about the students.
Yeah, how damaged are they from this? What is the evidence that they're suffering?
Remember, the students aren't the ones pushing for this. It's the parents that are pushing for this. It's just incredible. This is the one you might have heard about in recent news. The bill bans teaching that Nazis and similar political parties were of low moral character. Yeah. You can't take a side on a particular issue, and that includes Nazis and fascists and whatever other horrible group has existed throughout history, because apparently now that's a political issue. It's unbelievable. A penalty for being perceived to violate this law. A parent could file a complaint leading to the unpaid suspension, termination, and license revocation of the educator. This complaint need not be filed by a parent of a student in the teacher's class. And there's no statute of limitations for filing a complaint. And get this, this is the one that I think really ticked a lot of people off. A librarian could be jailed for disseminating material deemed harmful. And, of course, this panel of parents gets to decide what is harmful. This is just one of many examples of the insanity that has been unleashed in our educational system. And it's not just in Indiana. You'll find similar things right here on Long Island and throughout the country, because there are people who want to control every aspect of how information and education is disseminated. Because that's where you get real power. If you can control minds and steer them in a particular direction, then you can control everything. It's sick. It's really sick, and we're voting for it.
All I have to say is take an interest. Take an interest, good people. Everyone out there in the culture and the conversation, the behavior around you, do not let things slide. Do not just stand by idly.
You might have heard, actually, when I was talking about the Nazi thing before, this actually happened. It was brought up in a hearing last Wednesday. Indiana State Senate Committee hearing about this proposed bill. And Republican Senator Scott Baldwin said this. This is a quote. Marxism, Nazism, fascism. I have no problem with the education system providing instruction on the existence of those isms. I believe that we've gone too far when we take a position. We need to be impartial. Impartial about Nazism. Impartial about fascism. I don't even know why Marxism is in that same group, because Marxism is more an economical theory. I know plenty of proud Marxists. I don't know any proud Nazis or fascists. It's a difference. I'm not saying it's necessarily the pinnacle that people should strive for. It depends. People have different theories and beliefs. Just like socialism is something that many people happen to find agreeable, and many people don't find it agreeable. But you can't compare it to groups of people and movements that basically promote extermination of people, you know? And that's what Nazism and fascism does. And to say that we're not supposed to take a position on those things and to lump it in with something like Marxism... Oh my God! How ignorant are these people?
No, you got to alert. You have to alert people and warn them that this is a dangerous direction for people to be to be quiet over.
Say Stalinism, okay? I'm right with you there, because Stalin was a bastard and was responsible for millions of deaths. Absolutely horrible person, but that's not what Marxism represents.
Yeah, I agree with you. And Marxism, Exactly, and it's specifically it's something we're not exactly neutral on in this country, in the wider country. Maybe in economics classes or something, it's or sociology, it's discussed.
Anyway, there was some blowback to those comments. So he said something in response to that. He said, first of all, he changed the order. Didn't put Marxism first. He said Nazism, Marxism, and fascism. Nazis got first place now. Are a stain on our world history and should be regarded as such, and I failed to adequately articulate that in my comments during the meeting. I believe that kids should learn about these horrible events in history so that we don't experience them again in humanity. And the only reason he said that was because of the fierce backlash to what he said, but he still is lumping Marxism in with it, and still I'm not seeing a total condemnation of this we need to be impartial belief, which is reflected in what the bill is saying in the first place. So these are very dangerous times ahead, what we're facing. You know, we're all kinds of power is given to people that don't really know what they're talking about. And the rest of us are basically led along through a combination of panic, fear, and hatred. And it's fascinating to watch, but it's also scary and sad to see so much being taken apart.
And yeah, you gotta have a sense of humor. I mean, it would be too much tragedy without the humor. I mean, just to try to carve out a retelling of history to make new versions, neo-Nazi and other extreme groups find some shelter in today's society. In safe haven in a political appointee or an elected official is a low.
Yeah.
But we don't have to put up with it.
Yeah, we don't. And that's what I think people keep forgetting. There are alternatives. We keep telling ourselves, for instance, today Biden was speaking about voting rights and how we have to change the rules in the Senate in order to get this passed. Voting rights, for God's sake, it's something that's a no-brainer. And yet, the conclusion I hear from every single media pundit is that it's not going to happen. The support's not there. How is the support not there in this country, even in the Democratic Party, for voting rights? You know, how doomed are we if we can't even get to that? And just imagine, as everyone else is predicting, Republicans take control in 2024 of the House and maybe the Senate, and nothing will get done. I guarantee you they will impeach Biden just for the sake of it. And I don't know. It's such a dark future that it's something I can't even conceive of at the moment. But I imagine if we don't get our act together, we're going to have a lot more to talk about in the weeks ahead. Anyway, let's begin the show because I don't want to... Oh, the whole hour went by talking about this? Okay, all right. Well, you know what? We'll talk about something else next week. You know, I feel like going back into time when things were more innocent and music was more pure. I think we could just do that this once, not have all this harsh sound and something perhaps pleasant. And that'll lead nicely into Finn, and we'll see you again next week.
Yes, easy listening with Finn.
Easy listening? Well, no, that's not what he does, but that's what we should do, I think. OTW@2600.com is our address. We'll see you next week. Good night.
Take an interest and stay tuned for the revolution.
Again, I didn't put the volume
Finn's
up.
Finn's revolution. Coming up, and any other revolution, but Finn's specifically right now on this station, WSB, Stony Brook.
Good night. All right. That brings me back. This is nice. This is what music used to be.
Oh, yeah.
And listen to the lyrics.
Load up on guns and bring your friends. It's fun to lose and to pretend. She's overboard, she's self-assured. Oh, no, I know a dirty word. Hello, 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 how low. Hello, 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 how low. with the lights out, less dangerous. Here we are now. Entertain us. I feel stupid. I'm contagious. Here we are now. Entertain us. I'm a lotto, an albino, a mosquito, my libido. Yeah. I'm worse at what I do best, and for this gift I do feel blessed. And our little group has always been and always will until the end. Hello, 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 how low. Hello. Here we are now. Entertain us. I feel stupid. Contagious. Here we are now. Entertain us. I'm a lotto, an albino, a mosquito, my libido.